Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome to the Bible Study Evangelista Show. I'm Sonia Corbett, the Bible Study Evangelista, and I am back after a very long break. I thank you for being patient and waiting on the newest series. We are working on the book club right now and for Just Rest, and we went pretty deep. We talked about anxiety checklists, our three brains, growing a set, hearing God speak and discerning His will, among many, many other things. I answered a whole bunch of questions. I want to just apologize to those of you who tried to make it into the book club and were stuck in the waiting room. The list was so long, we didn't think to look at the bottom. We would have had to scroll and scroll and scroll to get there, and I just never thought about it, and I know that Mary Catherine didn't either. So we will do a better job next week of making sure that everyone gets in and that no one gets stuck in that waiting room. As long as you're there before 6:40 or 6:35, that's when we close and lock the room. Also, if you couldn't find your Zoom link, please look in your spam folder. I don't know how many emails I answered this week, at least 100, of people looking for the Zoom link, and those went out three times. You got one set of the whole book club, all of the sets of Zoom links in that first registration email. Then I sent you the instructions with the passcode in an instruction email. And then I sent out the Zoom links again the day of our first meeting. So please check your spam folders. Everyone that I've emailed and talked with has found them in their spam folder, except for one. So just check there. That's probably where it was if you couldn't find it. So I hope to see you next week. It is, it's pretty big, but everyone is so polite. It was not confusing at all, except for, you know, those of you who got stuck out in the waiting room and never got in. So this then, with no further ado, is the audio from our first week of the Just Rest Book Club. And I just want to mention that it is in mono sound instead of stereo. So there's a little different quality. Not too bad, I don't think. So I'll see you next week. Here we go.
There we go. All right. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Lord, you have covered us with your presence, with your peace, and with your mercy. And so we thank you for that. I thank you for every soul that's here, all of their families, all of their relationships. I pray that you would just wrap us up in a big hug of total peace. I pray that you would completely guard our tech, which, you know, I've been on that all day long in prayer. And I thank you for those who have been praying for me and for all that are here. I just pray that you'd bless our time. Come, Holy Spirit. We are so thankful for what you're doing in the church and the fact that we get to participate. Help us to see clearly where you're working in our lives tonight, I pray, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So welcome, everyone. I'm so thrilled. I wasn't sure how this was going to go because there were so many, and I imagine we'll probably end up with about half of what signed up. So welcome, welcome. So the very first thing that I want to do, what I've done is I have 8 pages of questions. So what I did, I showed you through the email that I grouped them in common themes. And so what I'm going to talk about tonight is hearing God and making decisions and discerning His voice. And how do I know if it's me or Him in prayer? And I imagine that I have a whole page of that. So I imagine that we're probably going to spend the whole time on that. If not, I'll go ahead and jump into a little bit of the pop quizzes stuff. But that's where I'm going to begin. So the first question is, Jesus only seems to speak to me when there is real danger, but the rest of the time I can't hear Him. So my question here would be, is there a practice of prayer on a daily basis? I recently reviewed John of the Cross on behalf of someone else, because in my one-on-one consultations, I have found someone who is benefiting from his teaching, although we're all benefiting from it in a way, simply because he has taught me so deeply. But one of the things that he says, and he says it so plainly, and this is part of what I love about him, he does not parse words. He says, if you don't have a daily prayer time, you haven't even begun. You're not even considered really a beginner in the spiritual life until you have established a daily prayer time and a connection with God. And this is so important. One of the things that I have seen Catholics fall into is multiplication of prayers. And I talked about this in the anxiety series, where we pray novenas, we do rosaries, we go to adoration, we go to mass every day. And somehow we think that that by itself is prayer. But all of those things are meant to connect us to the God we're praying to. So the first thing we, and I'm not saying those aren't good things, they absolutely are, but the point of those things is to connect us to God Himself. So are we praying at God, or are we praying to Him? Are we talking to Him about our lives? And so John of the Cross says very plainly that if you don't have a daily prayer practice, that you're merely at the very beginning of the beginning. So I would say, and I'm not saying that that's the case here, he only seems to speak to me when there is real danger, but the rest of the time I can't hear him. I'm not saying that you don't have a prayer practice. This is just a springboard. I was thinking about that. So you get to hear that thought. You got to have that. And if you don't, you must do absolutely everything in your power to begin, because otherwise you're not going to hear him. He will at times make himself heard or felt, but not regularly. And if you're looking for daily guidance, if you're looking for peace in your anxiety and depression, then you need that daily perspective from God. And so you've got to have that practice. The rest of the time I can't hear him, what I would say is practice. The practice that I'm going to give you here in a moment, I've talked about this quite a bit, and I talk about it a lot in How to Pray Like Mary, but begin a daily practice and do it for 40 days. And if you fall and you skip a day for whatever reason, go back to it. Don't stop. Go ahead and pick up on the next day and continue it and do it for 40 whole days. And I promise you, you will hear him speak. You will. He will talk to you. It will shock the snot out of you the first time it happens. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, he did, right? But you really have to continue in it, because he wants to train us in that practice, because he knows that that is the sap of the spiritual life. And so you can't do the harder stuff if you haven't begun in that place right there. But beginning to hear him speak is the key. You will hear him if you're at it every single day. And there have been many times when I just said, Lord, you said you were going to say something. And I've shared several times that the first time I heard God, it was on day 26. And I had already gone to my mentor and said, look, nothing's happening. And she said, well, go back And she asked me how long I had been at it. And I said, well, 5 days. She said, get back in there and do it. So we got to stay at it. You will, I promise. You absolutely will hear him if you're listening. Okay. How do I quiet my mind and spirit and set aside outside distractions long enough to rest in the Lord to hear what he says? So it's related to that same previous question. You just have to practice it every day. That's part of why I pray my rosary first, because the rosary has those rote prayers that we're reciting as we're meditating. And that sort of clears the dust for me. It helps me to kind of get in the zone. And you'll have a different practice. You might try that and it doesn't really work well for you. And that's fine. Pick something that does. I have recently, I don't know why, I hadn't picked this up before now, but I have recently, I guess because I'm a convert, but I recently picked up the daily, the morning offering prayer, and I printed it and I put it in my bathroom so that I see it, so that I remember it. I place those reminders around the house to remind me when I'm doing laundry, there's a statue of Our Lady. When I'm doing dishes, there's a statue of Our Lady there. When I'm in the den, there is a picture of the Sacred Heart. All of those things are meant to help us remember to say those prayers and to get connected with God. So it's not just about saying the prayer, right? It's about connecting. And the rosary helps me to do that. It helps me to just sort of calm myself, get in the zone, and it quiets my mind, it quiets my spirit, and then I can read my readings, and then I can sit in that entrust step, which we'll talk about in a moment, which is just that simple, here I am, Lord, I love you, and I'm in your lap. Okay? How do you find calm in the storm? You find calm in the storm by reading the readings and praying with him, with Mary, every single day. In the readings. That's how you find it. And we're desperate for it right now. Everything in the world seems designed to make us terrified. And so we need God's perspective every single day. And he provides it in the readings of the church. So every single day you go to the daily readings of the church and you ask him, what do you want to say to me today? And then you read those and you read them with an ear to listening. That's exactly what Mary shows us in her method of prayer. She hears the word of God through the angel Gabriel. And because she has a daily discipline, she both hears it and she understands what it means for her. So she observes her relationships and her circumstances through what she heard from God through the angel. And she knows immediately, I got to get to Elizabeth. She knows that nothing will be impossible for God. Number one, she knows it because she has a discipline. She's there every single day. She hears the word of God. For us, it will be reading. We're reading the readings of the day every single day. We're observing our relationships and circumstances. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me today? And it will take several days, maybe several weeks for you to hear something, but you will. You will if you stay at it. It's a discipline. And I know that that is very hard to do, but we must. It is absolutely imperative right now. There's no way to find calm in the storm. There's no way. Unless we have that daily contact with God, especially in his word, because the word of God speaks peace into our lives. When you read that in black and white and you've been worried about a particular subject and you see and sense that that word was for you and that situation, it changes everything. Suddenly, you know, oh my gosh, okay, he is here and he does know. And so it gives you that sense of peace. The other thing about the word of God that is so powerful is it accomplishes what God sends it to do. So when you read, be at peace, and you know that's for you, you will be at peace. You will be calm because you have heard from your Lord directly to your soul. That's how you get peace. That's how you get it on a daily basis. And it just is a discipline. We have to go to Him searching for it. I need your peace, Lord. And I'm here again today. I didn't get it yesterday. Maybe in this particular situation, but here's the thing. This is what's so cool about God. You may not get an answer to the thing that you're asking about, but you'll get something. He'll give you something. And that, whatever that is enough for you to go, all right, I think I might be able to make it just one more step, right? He just gives you enough for the next step. And that's all we're promised. It's like the manna that falls in the wilderness, right? You only get enough for one day. And that's because He wants you back the next day. He wants to see your sweet face. He wants to, the Song of Solomon says, I want to hear your voice. I want to see your face. God is always facing us. He's always gazing at us. He's always looking at us with love. And He's just waiting for us to gaze back at Him. If we weren't held in that love, we would not exist. You would not exist if God were not looking at you with absolute love at every single heartbeat. So all He is doing is just waiting there for you to turn your gaze to Him. That's how you find calm in the storm on a daily basis. You don't get it all in one poof. Let me just make that really clear. And I've said this throughout the anxiety series. God, He can, and we should ask Him to poof away our infirmities, because He can. He is the great physician. He did all kinds of miracles in the Old Testament, and He does them now. They're just not always as spectacular as they were in the scriptures, but He does do miracles. We should ask. So ask, but don't be disappointed if He doesn't poof away your anxiety or your depression or your fear right away, because He's more interested in the long-term healing that happens when we're with Him on a daily basis, because that long-term healing leads straight to union with Him in heaven. That's what He's interested in. So He's not interested in our American microwave culture. If you'll notice everything out in nature, nothing happens fast except the occasional hurricane. Everything is slow and methodical because that's how He created it. And we grow in the same way. And so grace, Thomas Aquinas says, builds on nature. God adds His grace to our natural temperament and personality, to our duty and our station in life, and to all of those things that we have going on. He adds grace. But that means then that we have to be faithful in the stuff that we can do. And He'll give us grace for that too, right? He's the one, if we don't ever go searching for Him, that He has not already been searching for us and longing for us and calling us to Himself. So if you have longed and are longing for that contact with Him, just know that He has already sought you. All right. That's how you find calm. How do I determine when something is from God, myself, or a total misdirection? Well, unfortunately, the honest answer is it takes practice, because I have made some wild predictions in my early prayer life that I had heard from God. And it became very plain that I had not heard from God. And so I went to Him and I said, how did I miss this so bad? How did I miss this so big, Lord? And what I had to learn was every voice is not God's. My sheep hear my voice. And so we have to learn what His voice sounds like. And we do that in our daily prayer time and our daily contact with Him. Because many, many times the enemy's voice sounds very deceptive. And guilt is one of those areas. I've been talking about that in social media. We'll get to that in another meeting, where we think that because we feel guilty, that's God speaking, but many times it's not. So how do we know? Well, we know, first of all, by practice. There are a couple ways that we can put some things together and know if they line up, that's probably God, and we can step out in faith One of them is God always speaks through his church. So if you're contemplating something that the church has said, you shouldn't do that, that's God saying, don't do it. Things like horoscopes, mediums, contraceptives, that kind of thing, right? Those things, whatever the church teaches, that's God speaking. I know we don't like to hear that, but that's just the truth of it. Okay. So what does the church say about it? God also always speaks through his word. What does the word say about it? Find a topical. In fact, you don't even have to find one of those now. You can jump online and type in a topic and look for Bible verses and get a whole list of Bible verses on any topic. Fear, marriage, anything. Look to see what the Bible says about that topic. And then go to him on a daily basis. Lord, this is what I'm thinking. What do I do? What does the church say about it? What does the Bible say about it? And then what do your circumstances say? Where do they seem to be leading? Right? And so this can be the tricky area, right? Where we're like, I don't know. Is that me or is that him? And so you want to try to make sure that those things line up, that they're all saying the same thing. And when we do that, we want to consult our three brains. Now, I'm getting ready to add, these are a couple of social media posts that I'm going to do on the three brains. I don't know how many of you know this, but you have a cephalic brain, which is up here, and then you have a cardiac brain, which is in your heart, and then you have an entrypic, I can't remember the word, but it's in your gut. You have like a billions of neurons up here, sensory cells in your brain. That's what causes you to think and have thoughts and reason and logic. And then you have this heart brain, which has about half of that. Lots and lots of sense cells, right? And you have them in your gut. You know how you get a gut feeling? That's your body receiving sensory information and speaking to you through the gut brain and the heart brain and the head brain. So if your head says do so-and-so and your heart says, maybe not, or your gut says, maybe not, listen to all three, because your gut and your heart are also receiving sensory information and interpreting it. So they know stuff. That's the point. They know stuff too. So if your head, your heart, and your gut all line up with the word of God, with what you're receiving in your daily readings and what the church says, then you can be reasonably sure that that is a good course of action. Now, for me, when I'm about to do something that, I don't know, not necessarily wrong, but may not be good, right? I'll get what I call a check in my spirit. I'll just get that little hesitation. I don't know about that. I have learned that that's the Holy Spirit. I know what that is now. So I obey it always, but that takes some practice, and it just does. And there's no easy way around that. It just takes some practice. So you have to kind of, you get grace for that though, right? I don't want to discourage anybody, because God always adds his grace to our efforts. So all of this, right, is when you have time to make the decision. like it's a big decision. Do I need to change jobs or whatever? But if you're like in traffic and you have to make a decision, well, how do I know if this is God or not? Well, you know, that's when you beg, dear Lord, please, I need to know right now, right? So there's lots of ways that we can discern, and it's always best if we have plenty of time, but sometimes we just don't. And so if you make a mistake there, the key is not to be upset at yourself, right? Because you don't always know. But the short answer is then it takes practice, but you do get to the point where you know you know enough of the Word of God to know what it says about it. You know what the church teaches. And so you know enough about that, that you don't have to consult that. And you're in the scriptures every day. So you're asking for that guidance on a daily basis. And then your circumstances, how are those lining up? Is my head okay? Is my heart okay? Is my gut okay? If all of that stuff is all pointing in the same direction, then you're probably good to go. Does that help? All right. I wish I could see everybody at one time, but then you'd be so small. Okay. Is that okay? Or all right. How do we use scripture to help us hold our negative thoughts captive? So here's what you do. First of all, get your Philippians chapter 4. Because that's a great place where a bunch of really good scriptures are. They're all located in the same spot. Philippians chapter 4. Okay, and this one is specifically about holding negative thoughts captive. Okay, look at chapter 4, verse 6, if you have yours. If not, I'll read it to you. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, which just means asking, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So here's how you use the Word of God to battle those negative, anxious thoughts. As soon as you catch yourself thinking it, you go, oh, wait a minute. God says, I can be at peace. He says, be anxious for nothing. He says, he feeds even the sparrows. He says, don't worry. So you recite back to yourself all of those scriptures that you have put together on that particular topic, if it's fear, if it's anxiety, whatever. And then you use them to coach yourself. This is what God's word said. Is God a liar or is he not? The Bible says God cannot lie. He is truth. So when he says that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard my heart and mind through Jesus Christ, that's what Protestants say, name it and claim it. I say to myself, dear Lord, I need your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, that will guard my heart and mind. I'm not going to be anxious about this. I'm leaving this in your hands. And then what I do in my mind is I visualize myself taking those negative, fearful, anxious thoughts and laying them at the feet of Jesus. I picture myself taking those thoughts and leaving them there. And I'm saying this verse to myself. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to worry. God has me in his hand. He will give me a peace that surpasses all understanding, and he will guard my heart and mind. Lord, guard my heart and mind. I'm leaving this with you, and I visualize leaving it at the feet of Jesus. And then I distract myself, because further on in that chapter, he says, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So instead of meditating on the negative, meditate on what is pure, lovely, good report, and virtuous. So you turn then your thoughts, you've laid the negativity at Jesus's feet, and you turn your thoughts then to what is good and pure and lovely. And what's helpful here is get yourself a picture. Get yourself a peace place. What is the most peaceful place you can remember ever being? And imagine yourself there. What does it feel like? What does it look like? That visualization is one of the ways that your whole body will relax. It will start to relax because it starts to feel the emotion of that peaceful place. So the short answer is, how do we use scripture to help take our negative thoughts captive? You recite that scripture to yourself. And this Philippians chapter 4 is one of the best ones, especially like this one. And my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Lord, I need love today. You say you will supply all my needs. I am asking and I'm anticipating. Anticipation is different than expectation. An expectation says that it has to happen this way in this time. An anticipation leaves it completely open to God. Lord, I need some love today. And you anticipate that he's going to answer that prayer, but you leave it completely up to him as to how he does that and when. That's how you use the scriptures to battle that negativity and that anxiety. You keep going in your mind. You go to that scripture. This is what God says. God does not lie. He says he will supply all my needs. Lord, this is my need. I need you to supply it. I'm bringing it to you. I'm leaving it at your feet. And I'm anticipating that you're going to supply this need, but I'm not going to obsess over it. And I'm not going to be anxious over it. I'm leaving it here. And instead, I'm going to get busy and distracted with something constructive. You see what I'm saying? I feel the Lord's promptings, but how can I hear his voice throughout the day? That's another one of those places that as you spend that time with him every single day, you start to know what his voice sounds like. First of all, it's never discouraging and it's never fearful. If you are hearing something from God that makes you afraid or discouraged, that is not him. That's part of why it's so important to know what the scriptures say. Because God, the saints tell us this. This is not a Sonia-ism. The saints tell us that discouragement is never from God. Isaiah says that Christ will not break the bruised reed. And that means he knows that we're weak. He knows that we're fragile. He's not going to scare us. So when you're hearing something that sounds anxious or discouraging or scary, that's not him. That is not his voice. It never, never is. And so when you hear that in your head, you have to know that is not him. You take it straight to the feet of Jesus and you leave it there. I've got a little Protestant coming out. How to trust Jesus more when I'm anxious, and how do I know it's me or him that is speaking to me? So I've covered that, right? What is the best Bible verse to fight anxiety? The best Bible verse to fight anxiety is the one that is most peaceful for you. One of mine is, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory, because that covers everything. No matter what I need, if I need love, if I need money, if I need time, no matter what it is, Lord, I'm running out of time here. I really need you to do something. And what usually will happen in that kind of situation is two or three of the things that I had on my list that had to be done today, suddenly, poof, they don't need to be done. Or if they don't get done, they end up being able to wait till the next day, whatever. But all of your needs are covered here. So this is a go-to verse for me. God will supply all your needs. He will. But don't stop waiting for it. Don't give up. Just because he waits not just till the last minute. He waits until you've gone way past the last minute sometimes. But he does that to grow that muscle. So don't give up asking. Keep at it and keep anticipating and keep expecting, because he will. Now, sometimes that happens on a day-to-day basis. We don't always get all of it at one time, but he gives us just enough each day to continue that next day, to continue that next step. Okay. How to stay awake and not be anxious. I'm pretty sure this doesn't mean like literally stay awake. Although if you're having problems falling asleep during prayer, I feel you. Because when I first, and it depends on the season of your life, right? Because in the beginning, I had to get up really early, like 4 o'clock in the morning to try to do my prayer time. And I slept through it for like the first 2 months. And then I thought, this is just not working. I'm not getting anything done. So I switched it to the evenings, right? So it's fine. There's no perfect time. The scriptures always talk about the morning being the best time. And that's because your whole day then has already been consecrated to God. But there are situations in which that's just not possible. Okay. I did that whole morning prayer thing at 4 o'clock in the morning until it wasn't working because I slept through it. And so I started asking, Lord, I need you to help me be awake. I got to be awake. I can't be falling asleep every day. And so what happened? It actually started to be, it was a funny little thing, an inside joke between us, because what would happen is I started noticing that, golly, like at 4:30 in the morning, this bird would be right outside my window chirping its head off, or the dog would bark incessantly and I'd have to get up. Right. And then, you know, you plod to the shower and you get a shower, you have a little bit of coffee, and then you're up. So whatever works, I was determined to do it in the morning because I knew that I needed it for the rest of my day. So I didn't give up just because I slept for a long time in it. I finally just put my foot down and said, something's got to change here. Lord, I need your help. Can you please get me up and help me be awake? So I know you're not probably talking about literally falling asleep, but if you are, you just do what works. All right. And how to not be anxious. I've covered that some. All right. And as we go throughout the book club, we'll talk about that in great depth. All right. But the short answer is be in the scriptures every single day and use them to coach yourself in those moments that you're terrified. How do we slow down enough to remember the do when life can be so fast, challenging, and busy? That's a great question, and it's something that we all battle because we are very busy. Everybody has their own ways of sort of being in the present moment. But for me, the best way is to sit with God and use every one of my senses to really be in the moment. What am I seeing right now? What do I smell? What do I hear? What can I feel? And I use all of my senses to just stop for a moment and really be present in that moment. And sometimes that gives you just it's like a little puff of peace. So I like to do that. But there's no substitute, in my opinion, for being in that scripture every single day. There just isn't. That is where the peace is. That is where that step-by-step encouragement from God comes. And you need that every single day. During this time, my rest in the Lord is extremely distracting. What should I do about that? One of the big things here is you got to cut the distractions if at all possible. So if you have small children, that means you got to get up really early or you got to stay up after they're in bed. And one of the things that I did when mine were little is I started because they would either get up really, really early. And if they did that, that was fine, but I make them go to bed early. So I had that time after, or vice versa. I would keep them up later so they would sleep later in the morning so I could carve out that time where it was just me. And this is where you ask God for help. I need help here. It's so practical. Why don't we just ask him for that stuff? You know, I'm trying to put this prayer time together and you know, I need help with these distractions. So can you help me put together a time and a place that is quiet and free of distractions? And then all you have to really battle is what's in your head. And that just takes some practice. That's the reason I do my rosary first, and then I read the readings. And then I sit quietly in God's presence and just love him. I just sit there. And, you know, sometimes you might feel like that's a waste of time, but it's never, never a waste of time to just sit in God's presence and just be with him. All kinds of stuff happens in that seemingly wasted time. That is all very good. So limiting distractions is a strategy. And most of this is, it really is. If you're serious about something, put together a strategy. This is what I'm going to do. Here's the step-by-step thing. These are the steps I'm going to take. So put yourself a strategy together and tweak it until it works. Okay. It's going to be different for each of us. After raising kids and not working outside the home, it is hard to know where I should work or volunteer. And then some of that got cut off. I'm not sure what the rest of it was. So how do you know? Well, that goes back to your daily reading, your head gut, your heart gut, your gut gut. That's not what it was. Your head brain, your heart brain, and your gut brain, your circumstances, and then your daily time with God. That's how you know. And here's the other thing. Don't discount your personality and your temperament and your gifts and your talents, because that's where God uses you, especially in the spiritual gifts realm. That's where he uses you most effectively. And when I say that, I don't mean utilitarian, in a utilitarian way. God never does that. He gives to you first, and then you give to others. So when you find what those spiritual gifts are, there's a test for that, that I like to give people in my one-on-one when we're discerning something like that. But I did a series on spiritual gifts, golly, a couple years ago now. There's a couple of lists in the scriptures that kind of enumerate what some of those are. And then you can, there are a couple of Catholic sites that you can find that will help you discern what those gifts are. But when you're talking about having kids that are gone and you've got an empty nest and you got extra time, and now what should I do? Well, what do you want to do? What does your heart say? What are you good at? What if maybe you wanted to do for years and never did it? What is something that you wanted to do when you were younger and it got squashed for some reason? Think about those things and pursue those until you land on something that's working, right? And all of those brains then go together and they help us make those decisions. But that's another area where I ask God, okay, can you bring me something? I got some extra time here. What do I do with it? What would you like to see me do? What are the opportunities that I can try, right? And then just watch to see what becomes available, what you hear about through the grapevine, whatever. Okay. How do I figure out what my purpose and talent is? There you go. Your purpose, number one, is this healing. That's your number one purpose, because that healing draws you directly into the heart of God. And that is everyone's number one purpose. After that, it's kind of hit and miss for a while, right? The first time I taught a Bible study, I had no idea what I was doing. None. I had tried the nursery and mercy. I couldn't do that. I was not very hospitable. I mean, I love to cook and I love to have people over, but like one person. I can't do a group of people. Some of y'all people who have that gift, I love it. I absolutely love it. I love coming to your house. I love that. It's a true gift, right? That's actually a spiritual gift. Hospitality is a spiritual gift. But that's not my gift. The very first time I tried teaching a Bible study, I got about 2 or 3 weeks into it. And I was like, oh my gosh, I thought I was going to explode. I was so excited about what I was learning and I could not get enough of it. And I couldn't get enough people to tell. Help, I'm talking and I can't shut up. Right? So when you find something like that, do it at every opportunity. And so it took me several tries in several different areas before I found it. And it was a complete accident. I had no idea that that was my spiritual gift until I did it once. And then I just absolutely, I mean, I have never looked back, never looked back. So when you find that thing that just really grips you, do it for Jesus or do it for love of him. That's really all you got to do. It don't even matter. You don't have to do it in church. Just do it. Do it for love of him and love of the people that you're serving. And that's all that matters. Best journaling practices to uncover anxieties. That's where that love the word comes in. So we listen to the word of God every day. L is listen. Every single day, you read the readings of the church. We observe. O. L is listen. O is observe. We observe our relationships and circumstances in light of that reading. Perhaps we have specific questions. Perhaps we have specific worries or thoughts or concerns or whatever. Then V, we verbalize. That's where you journal. My journals were basically a vomit session in every possible way. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm mad about. Here's what I love. Here's what I'm happy about. Just everything. I said everything in my journal to God as a prayer. Everything. That's the V step. Sometimes I would journal first because I had a heavy heart, and then I would read the scriptures. Sometimes I would read first and then something would hit me and I'd go, oh, okay. And then I would write what I thought I was hearing. So L is listen, O is observe, V is verbalize. That's the part where you journal. That's one of the best practices, because what'll happen is the stuff that comes up that you start to talk about God or talk to God about, first of all, the scriptures will help with that. But secondly, as you talk to him about it, a couple of things will happen. You'll get all that emotion out, and it's been deposited in a safe place. You haven't erupted on somebody. You haven't self-medicated or anything like that. It's deposited in a safe place. You get peace from that. It starts to alleviate some of that emotion. And then you also get God's perspective, which helps you know what to do next. That's where the stop tool comes in. And we'll talk about that in another week. But you'll get some perspective and it'll help you know what to do next. And as you're working through anxiety in a particular situation, sometimes more of it comes up. Sometimes you'll start to sense things or the roots of things that you didn't know were there to begin with. But the best way to know what God wants you to do is to follow your pop quizzes. Anyone who wants to know what is God's will for my life and what does he want me to do, he wants you to work in your pop quizzes. That's where he's trying to get your attention. That's where he's already working. And that's going to take the rest of your life, probably. And that, too, is where the anxiety will come up, and you can deal with it with God in his presence, because that's the safe place to deposit all of that negativity, all of that anxiety, all that fear, all that everything. He is the safe place. He's not going to tell anybody. And not only that, but he'll give you his perspective. And when you have that, when you get God's perspective, you have God's peace. Okay, that was the first round of questions. What I'm going to do now is open up the chat. Just to me. That way, if you have a question, go ahead and drop it in. We have a few minutes. I know that was very generic, and you've probably heard me say it a million times. You hadn't heard me talk about that, the three brains, though. That three brains thing is pretty cool. All right. Can I explain a pop quiz? Well, that was supposed to be for next week, but yes, I will. I think that, where is the Bible verse? My God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory is Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. What do you do with all your journals over the years? I still have them. I have shelves and shelves and shelves. If you did How to Pray Like Mary with Ascension Press, in the beginning of each of those videos, there was a pile of journals on a table. That was mine. Those were mine. And in fact, it was a big deal for me to go pick out a new one when mine would start to get full and I was fixing to run out of paper. I loved going to pick a new one, and it had to be pretty in it. You know, I love doing that. So I still have all of mine. And luckily my family is, you know, they're not very nosy. Okay. Can I explain a pop quiz? I am going to do this and I'm probably going to do it more than once because I don't know why, but this just seems to be a question that everybody has all the time. So I must not be explaining it very well. First of all, a pop quiz is not your daily irritations. Everybody has daily irritations and that's not what I'm talking about. When I talk about a pop quiz, I'm talking about explosive emotion that either makes you act out explosively or push it down explosively. Lots and lots of overwhelming emotion that seems to come out of nowhere and is overwhelming. And if you'll notice, when you have those, they're in a pattern. This, I think, is the perfect time to ask Beth Wright. Where is Beth? Raise your hand, Beth, if you're here. I'm not sure if I have to scroll through here or not. All right, I do not see Beth. She chickened out. Oh, there she is. All right, there you are. All right, Beth, unmute, please. All right. Can you not unmute? All right, hold on. Can you do that, Mary Catherine? Oh, there we go. Yep. Excellent. Okay. I must have just been pushing the button too many times. All right. Tell me about pop quizzes. Do you know what they are and have you had any?
Oh yeah, I've had quite a few of them.
All right. Tell me about your last one.
Oh man. The last pop quiz. It's been just an ongoing situation with, I would say, my marriage. And so something just recently happened and it was just like, and so, okay. Yeah, but I know, but backstory is this precluded something else happening, but God's been working on me with the marriage part.
Okay. So give me, if you don't mind, just give me really general details of what happened.
I found out, a mistruth, an untruth was done.
Okay.
And I've allowed it forever. And it just was like, no more. I went to confession and I just bawled over it. So it was just, yeah.
Okay. But, so has that happened before? Is that a pattern?
Oh, yeah.
All right. And how did you feel?
Awful. But going to confession helped me. The priest told me something I've never heard before. And so he's given me homework.
Oh, cool. Okay.
To deal with it.
All right. So when you say you felt awful, try to be more specific about how you felt.
I keep allowing, let me think. It's like, why does he keep doing the same thing over and over?
Okay.
And the priest was pretty much telling me because I'm an enabler.
Okay.
And so I never heard that, because you think of enabling, well, in my head, when you think of like an alcoholic or something, he's like, well, you are an enabler. Uh-huh.
There's an old adage. There's an old adage that you teach people how to treat you.
Yes.
So is it fair to say then you were angry?
Oh yeah. But I don't like to show anger.
Okay, I was getting to that. Until it erupts. All right, so you were angry. Who were you angry at?
To be honest, I was getting pretty angry at God that it keeps happening.
Okay. All right.
And that's why I really took it to confession again. Like, why? And that's
okay, when let's look at why. Okay. So tell me again. So you found out something is it fair to say it was devastating?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So you found out something devastating. You said you felt awful. Tell me more about what awful is.
Just violated. Like
And what was under that?
Just hurt. I mean, just
hurt.
Yeah. Oh yeah. A deep, deep wound. And so what started coming to my head, and again, this is through childhood, was that I've had a fear of rejection. So when I tell people my truth, like, that hurts me that you're telling me a lie or whatever, I don't do that because I'm afraid that I will be rejected. It just hit me. That just came to me not too long ago, that there's a core down there.
So try for just a moment, try to remember how you felt and see if you can identify where that is in your body. Where do you feel that hurt?
I want to say because it's just been a long, long time. So I'm just trying to think, but probably in the heart. I would say maybe in the heart.
Okay. Yeah. Don't think, feel. All right.
Oh, so, feel.
Yeah. So would you say you feel it here?
Yeah. I would. Yeah. I'm trying to remember because I feel like I've been healed from part of it through the confession, but I have to take the next steps and stuff. So I'm not in that where I was.
True. Okay. But it's a pattern, right?
Yes.
So then it should be familiar.
Yes.
Yeah. So try to focus your attention on that hurt and where you're feeling it. I know it's uncomfortable because everybody's watching, but just try.
All right. Well, it might be in the gut because it's such a sucker punch.
Okay. Okay. And when is the first time how old is that feeling? When's the first time you can remember feeling that?
Oh, that goes back to something in childhood. Through all this, what's all happened to me within the last 2 years, it's been rooted in what's happened in childhood. But it took me, I was like the woman at the pond, or the man at the pond who waited.
All
right,
you're all in your
years.
Head. You're all in your head. I just want you to feel for a minute. Okay. So you know it goes back to childhood. So give me a general idea of what happened that first time you can remember feeling like that.
Just fear.
What was going on?
It's hard to say it out in front of everybody. It was just a lot of the pain and just not being heard. I'm just trying to, because I was a child and I wasn't heard because I never told. So that was a lot of it. I stuffed in a lot of the stuff because in the family, we had a large family and there was a lot of drama. And so I didn't tell because I was protecting the family. I didn't want anybody to get in trouble. I didn't want my mother to have any more pain. It was just felt not heard. And that's been a big thing, is feeling not heard.
So you swallowed it.
Yes. Into the gut. Because
in your guts. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So do you have, when something like that happens, is that where you feel it? Do you have gut issues? Do you have ulcers?
Yes. No ulcers, but just have always had the food addictions and things like that. But we'll have the, the want to go eat chocolate, things like that. But I always had the gut issue. Yeah.
Okay. So think about the little girl and how she felt that very first time you can remember feeling like that gut punch. Mm-hmm. What does she need?
What does she need? I think she needs a hug.
She does need a hug. And what does she need to hear?
She needed to hear, I'm sorry. That's what she needed to hear.
Ah, and what does she need to say?
I forgive you.
So what if you sat with Jesus and you journaled every bit of that out?
Yeah, I haven't done that part. That's one of the things I haven't done. Well, I've done the journal, but not the drawing that you talk about.
You don't have to do whatever works. Okay. My point though is that is how you heal a wound.
Okay.
So when you have a pop quiz, right? A pop quiz causes all of that emotion, a gut punch. Mm-hmm. It causes a gut punch. And when that happens and you did exactly the right thing, why is this happening again? And you were able to discern that there was a pattern to it.
Yeah. Wow.
And at that point, you go all the way back to the beginning. When's the first time you can remember feeling that way? And then you turn to that little girl and you give her what she needs.
Okay.
She needs you to speak for her. She needs you to listen to her. She needs you to intercede for her. And you can do that now by listening and expressing all that she felt then.
Oh, okay.
Because what happens is you're still acting on that now. What happened in that situation with the pop quiz, it was less about the person that did it to you. And this is true for all of us. It's less about the person who did the thing to us than it is what God is trying to heal us of.
Right.
And when you can discern the pattern and where and how far back it goes, then you can turn to that child and give that child what that child did not get.
Okay.
If she needs a voice, then give her a voice. Say okay. the stuff that she feels like she can't say. Express the anger that she was never able to express.
Okay.
It doesn't mean you have to be crazy like I was, but at least you can say, this makes me mad. I'm mad. I'm angry. So many people believe that anger, expressing any anger in any way, is unladylike, but that's fake. We have to be able to at least own how we really feel. If you're angry, you should be able to say, that pisses me off. That doesn't mean that you're going to go crazy and go smacking people or anything like that, but at least you're able to say how you feel, because otherwise what happens to that anger? It goes straight to your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So a pop quiz, then, it's a matter of that overwhelming emotion. Some of you are very, very good at stuffing that and hiding it away so mm-hmm. that nobody sees it. But that's where you end up with digestive issues and autoimmune issues and that kind of thing. Some of you are crazy, explosively angry, and you need some self-control, right? So both things, though, are equally sinful. To pretend you're not angry and to stuff it, can you see how destructive? I'm not necessarily talking just to you, Beth. Mm-hmm. Can you see how stuffing your anger is just as destructive to you as being explosively and aggressively angry is to someone else? Why is it less sinful to treat yourself that way than it would be to treat another person that way? The definition of sin is that it's destructive. So if stuffing it is destructive, and we know it is for your health, then that is sinful. So where do we put that emotion? Because it has to have a way of expression. You take it to God. That's where the journaling comes in. That V step. And if you can't journal because you are in an environment that would be unsafe, you can still pray it. You can still say to God all of that stuff. But the important part is when you have a pop quiz, it's very, very important that you discern the pattern in it, because there will be a pattern. And here's the other thing. One of the things that we all do, this is a human reaction. When someone hurts us, the very first thing we do is attribute the worst possible motive to the person who did it. It was malicious and they meant it. But the truth is, they probably had no thought. In most cases, the people who hurt us have no idea that they've done that, especially when it's a husband. They don't know. But it hurts us so deeply. So we can see then that the pop quiz is not about them, not always. First and foremost, it's about us. Now, in a situation where we've been abused or we're being abused, that's a whole different thing, because now the pattern is, when are you going to stand up for yourself and put a boundary in place? Which we'll talk about probably next week. We're going to talk about difficult marriages and authority and family, how to fix people, that kind of thing. What to do if you don't have support at home, all that kind of stuff. But the most important thing to know about a pop quiz is that they generally have a pattern. And that's the part that the Holy Spirit is trying to get our attention. The enemy uses the pop quiz to make us fall in sin. But the Holy Spirit is using that exact same pop quiz to teach us to behave and deal with it differently than we did before. That's why you keep having it. If you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got. So the pop quiz then is to alert you that there is a pattern here. Why is this happening again? It's happening again because of a dynamic in a relationship that mimics a relationship that you had very early in your life. One that wounded, one that was not protective. And trauma is not about some major thing happening. It's about what we make that thing that happened to us say about who we are. That's the nature of trauma. It can be a pretty minor thing compared to other people, but if it changes who you are, that's a trauma. I'm afraid by saying that, somebody's got a question about it. If the three brains are in conflict, how do I reconcile? Good question. I was actually thinking about this, what an example to give. So recently I had this great idea and I could not wait to do it, but then I realized it was going to affect somebody else and probably not in a good way. And not just probably, but definitely it was not going to affect this person in a good way. And I didn't want to do that. And yet I knew that it was the right thing. So how do I do this? And so in the beginning, everything was like, woohoo, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm so excited about it. But then my heart started bugging me about it, because this is going to hurt somebody if I'm not careful. And it probably will anyway, just because of the nature of the decision. It's probably not going to be good for this person. So what do I do? Well, in the beginning, I was like, well, it'll just have to be that way, because this is the right thing to do. I don't know what else to do, right? And I was ignoring the other parts, the gut and the heart, right? Because I not because I wanted to hurt the person, but just because I thought that there was nothing I could do about it. But I was ignoring it. And then I started thinking about it and I'm like, now, wait a minute, I've got this, you know, in there. How can I address this in a way that makes my heart okay with it? And as I fooled with the planning, I realized I could. And it was because I had that weird feeling in my heart. I didn't want to hurt this person. And I know that ultimately it probably will some, but there's a lot that I can do to make that better. And I want to, right? So how do I reconcile them? Well, sometimes all you really have to do is pay attention to all of them. Where we get in trouble is that we're just plowing past that gut feeling, or that check in our heart that says, I'm not sure why I don't think I should do this, but I just don't. Sometimes that's called intuition, right? We all have that. We have those times where we just know we need to not do something, but don't know why. And we talk ourselves out of it with our heads. Instead, how can we bring all three of those into alignment? So for me, all it really took was me paying attention to my heart telling me, you gotta do a little more thinking about this and planning so that this is not a bad thing, right? It's got to be a good thing for everyone, if at all possible. And once I turned my attention to that, it was pretty simple to do. But it was because I was thinking about our three brains that I even was able to do that. Most of the time, most of us just plow right through all that stuff. We're talking ourselves out of that gut feeling because it seems weak or it seems feminine or something, you know? And yet it's a biological alert system. There is sensory information being processed by all of those parts. So your gut knows something. Your heart knows something. So if you can put all of those three things together, then you've got all the information that you can possibly have. And still, you may not have it all, but you've got all that you can possibly have. I wish I had more room here. I can make this bigger. All right. All right, this is too long a question. Sometimes the negative thoughts seem to freeze me in my progress. How do you push through that stuck feeling? You just do. Here's the thing. You got to grow a set. You got to grow a set and stop falling over every time it gets a little hard. You have to determine, I am going to do this. I'm going to fall 10 times, I'm sure. I'm going to be terrible at it on the front end, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it one way or the other. I'm not sure I know anybody more stubborn than I am. I'm honest. About the only way you can get me, when I was younger, the only way you could get me to do something was to tell me I couldn't. You just hide and watch me. Right? So turn that stubbornness to your benefit. Grow a pair. And I don't mean you who asked the question there. I don't even know who that was. I don't mean you specifically. I mean, all of us. It is just hard sometimes. And we have to just push through and determine that we're going to do it no matter what, no matter how long it takes, no matter how hard it is, we're going to do it, period. And I'll tell you this, that when you set your will like that, the devil will flee from you. It is your will that keeps you from pushing through. Remember, we talked about the emotions being the caboose and the will being the engine. Your will is the engine of your life and your spiritual life. Decide, I am going to do this no matter what. And then just make a plan and stick with it. And if you have to change it, then change it. But don't quit. Just because it's hard does not mean it cannot be done. So how do I push through the stuck feeling? I just determine. I am going to do this. And then I beg God for the grace. Right? Because we all give up sometimes. Okay, so the negative thoughts seem to freeze me. So that sounds like a more serious issue than simple, I'm having some negativity, right? So first of all, your will is in action. Put your will in action. And then the tools. Mary Catherine put together something that she was using on her own. And when I heard about it, I said, oh my gosh, let me look at that. And what she did was she took the principles that I've been talking about through the anxiety series and through the book, and she put them in a step-by-step kind of checklist. What do I do first? Well, this is what I do first. And then I go here, and then I go here. And there are lots of arrows in the quiver, right? You've got visualization. You've got the word of God. You've got standing on the promises of God. You've got all kinds of tools that you can use. And I remember when my babies were very small and we had an issue with one of them with croup. And there are like five needs that a baby has: eat, sleep, suck, entertainment. And I forget what the fifth one is. Holding. And I had this article that I put on my refrigerator. And when my baby cried
like uncontrollably, I would go to the refrigerator and I would go step by step through each of those things. All right, I've tried the diaper. I've tried the food. I know he's not hungry. I know he's not sleepy. Maybe he needs to be held. And then I would hold and hold and hold him. And if it still was not working, then I would make sure he had something to suck, right? I'd made sure that I went through each of those steps so that I was covering all those bases, because you never know what that is, right? So how do you push through the stuck feeling? Well, first of all, your will is in control, and then you do all the tools until you get one that works. And what works this time might not work the next time. You might have to use a different tool next time, but you've got lots of tools in the toolbox that you can go through that will help you deal with the anxiety and the fear as it comes up. Does that help? I'm willing to volunteer. Any words of advice for those who have a close family member? Okay, we'll talk about that next week. Tell Beth, thank you for sharing, because this helps us all in so many ways. Yes, Beth, I'm so glad you said that. I got to find you. There you are. Thank you. I know how hard that is, but I appreciate it very much, because we have all this stuff in common. Each of us has, we all have this stuff in common. That's why I asked. And so those of you who have volunteered, I'm impressed. So thank you. Oh, we got a thumbs up here. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Can repeated daily irritations contribute to big pop quizzes? Yes, they can. So can sleeplessness. So can hunger. I think I can't remember, because what's the alcohol anonymous thing? HALT. Hunger, anger, lonely, tired. All of those things contribute to big pop quizzes. Hormones. Somebody asked a question about hormones. We'll talk about that in the last one on rest in body. All of that stuff can contribute, but that's not why you're having it. It just makes it worse. So you just have to get okay with the misery. It's just miserable. It's miserable and it sucks. And I wish I didn't have to do it, but this is God's will right now. How do I know? Because he allowed it. That is very hard to hear sometimes, but it is the truth. And for me, it's very comforting, because what I know is he always filters what he allows through his love. So I can trust that he can use it for my good. And I can cooperate with it. So yes, repeated daily irritations can definitely contribute to a pop quiz. What determines if a pop quiz is sinful? Okay, well, an outward sinful is pretty easy. Did you explode on someone? Did you accuse someone in anger? Were you ugly? Did you self-medicate to the point of sin? Those are outward ways that they can be sinful. Inward ways they can be sinful. Have you stuffed it? Have you pretended that you don't feel the way you feel? Now, it's not always appropriate to tell the person that you're angry with that you're angry with them. Sometimes you just need to grow up in charity, but you can certainly take that to Jesus and you can say it to him. I am really ticked off. Now, it's not appropriate for me to tell this person this, because I know this is my thing and I have this pattern. So I'm going to talk it over with you, Jesus. And if I need to do something about it, then I know you'll tell me. But otherwise, right? So if you're stuffing it, if you're pretending that you don't feel the way you feel, now there are degrees of sin, right? But it's destructive. And that's how you know that you shouldn't do it. Stuffing how you feel is destructive. All we really have to do is acknowledge it in ourselves. And sometimes we need to talk to God about it. Sometimes you can talk to a friend, but a lot of times friends will rat on you. Jesus is the safest place I know. Saying that autoimmune issues can be caused by stuffing down feels just hit me over the head like a ton of bricks. You just described to me. That's all of us, dear. What I did was, once I got a handle on the fact that my aggressive anger was sinful and how destructive it was,
I went to the complete opposite direction and I just stuffed everything. Well, then that just must mean I have to be I have a merry face all the time. And I'm going to be serene and quiet, which is impossible, you know, for somebody like me. But as best I could, I pretended I wasn't upset. And that's when God taught me the stop tool. It's just as destructive, Sonia, for you to pretend that you're not upset or you're not angry or you're not hurt as it is to act out in this aggressive anger. The difference is you're turning it on yourself rather than someone else. And how is that any better? How is that more allowable? Why would God allow you to treat yourself differently than he would allow you to treat someone else? Are you available for one-on-one Zoom calls for help with pop quizzes? Yes, I do those. Mary Catherine can help you with that. I do one-on-ones, but I'm booked up through this month. If I've tried to work out an issue but wasn't getting anywhere, just setting myself up for more conflict, I think discerned. We'll talk about, okay, so we'll, I don't have a name here, but the question is, so if I've tried to work out an issue but wasn't getting anywhere, just setting myself up for more conflict, I think I discerned to avoid that person and feel God's love and not look for love and acceptance in that other person. Yes, it's never about the other person. It's always about us and what we're supposed to be learning from that other person. And sometimes that means that person is abusive and you have no business engaging with them. Because if you engage with an abuser, whether it's emotional, physical, or any other abuse or manipulation, then you're enabling them. Somebody needed to hear that. If we don't set proper boundaries, then we are enabling their sin. What is entrust in love the word? Entrust. Okay, I didn't even finish that, did I? L is listen. O is observe. V is verbalize. E is entrust. So when you entrust, after you've done the verbalize step, typically you will have decided with God on a course of action. Most of the time for me, that was just suck it up and grow up. And let me give you some charity and just grow up in charity. And so in the entrust stage, what you do there is, all right, Lord, yes, I obey that. I am going to grow up in charity. I'm going to not think about this as being hurtful and they meant to do it to me. I'm going to leave it at your feet and I'm going to trust you with just letting that go. I'm going to trust you. And then you do, and you leave it there. See, what happens is we leave it there for a minute and then we get up from our prayer time and then we start thinking about it again. And then we take it back from the feet of Jesus and then we unwrap it again. And now we're all pissed off all over again. Or we're hurt all over again, right? When you catch yourself doing that, take it back to Jesus and lay it down. Take it back as many times as it takes for you to not do it anymore. And once you've laid it there, then turn your attention to whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, whatever is peaceful. That's what you think about, not the other. What are the questions we should ask when faced with a pop quiz? You say there is a pattern. How do we figure out the pattern? I think you're going to know the answer to that throughout the rest of the weeks. But I promise you that if you take that to the Lord and you ask the Holy Spirit to make that obvious, he will. And be in the scriptures every day. How do you use trust the gut brain as one of the brains when you are so used to experiencing the anxiety and fear there all the time? That is a great question. So that has to be healed first. The anxiety and fear that you carry around in your gut has to be healed first because it's in overdrive. It has been so abused and mistreated for so long, it doesn't know that it is safe to stop. So that has to be healed first. Because right now, when you carry that anxiety and fear in your gut all the time, there's no rest for you in that place. The gut is missed. It's untrustworthy. Because everything is a danger right? So that has to be healed first. So I wouldn't say ignore it, but I would say bring the word of God to bear on that. What is the truth of this situation? Are you actually in danger, or is this your anxiety? And what's the root of that anxiety? What does it go back to? Where did it start? That's where you'll find some healing. Now that takes time, right? It's not going to happen overnight. It takes time, but you will see progress. You will see little steps of progress as you go. How do I overcome the feeling of the need to start over to make my effort perfect? We'll talk about perfectionism in another week and separating intellectual from the relationship. I'm not sure I understand that. Separating the, I don't understand that question. Can you share that with us? I don't know what that was. When you say anxiety series, is that your podcast? Yes, Freedom from Anxiety. I have left that public. It's been up for months because people are still coming back to it, and it's been overwhelming, and I don't want to shut it down or make it premium yet. I will eventually, but not yet. Freedom from Anxiety. His intention is healing. Absolutely. Would love a one-on-one. All right. Just get in touch with Mary Catherine. How can we see the recording? I'm going to have to edit it down. I forgot all about the fact that we were recording. I'll have to edit it down for the radio, but I'll send it to you. I'll send the audio, and the video will be available on my website. I'll send it to you through email, through your weekly emails. It's been a long time, hasn't it, since you've gotten a weekly email? I took a long break because I didn't want to try to start something and then get hung up in the middle of the holidays. So it was a long break, but you'll get it. I'm a single woman who has realized, oh, this is just so hard to make work. I have a big father wound and family boundary codependency issues that are causing me a lot of anxiety. How do I start practicing not blowing up emotionally when they are always around? That is tough, but that's where your daily prayer time is absolutely necessary. When you're around them all the time, it's a constant, it's like having an open wound, and you know how you bite your lip and it swells up a little, and then you bite it like for the next week until your lip is like hamburger. That's what it's like to live with someone who was an original wounder and who keeps on doing it, right? You must have some space. You have to have some space between that person and yourself so you can heal. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if you need another. I had to move away from the state. I got out of the state that I was in just to put some space between me and that person. Sometimes that's not possible, but there are ways that you can create space for yourself. That's the number one step, because it's almost impossible unless two things. You need space from that person, but you also need that daily time with God in the scriptures, or it is going to almost be impossible. I don't know how you could do it otherwise, to be honest, because there's a lot of woundedness there. And that woundedness, when it's provoked, it causes all of our out of control behaviors. What about if pain is in your throat and heart? What I would say about pain, we're going to talk about this next week in some depth. What I would say about pain is try to put your attention on it and locate it. And once you've located it, ask it, what do you want me to know? What do you need? I know that sounds bizarre, but just humor me and just try it. If you can find where that is in your throat and heart, and you can feel it there, turn your attention to it and see if you can. Usually, once you know where it is, you can identify how old it is. When's the first time you remember feeling that way? And that usually will take you to the root of it. Is it possible to recognize someone else's emotional struggle in a relationship as a shared pop quiz when there's explosive emotion involved? Or is it always for you to look only at your own stuff? I would say try very hard not to look at anybody else's stuff, even if they're involved in the pop quiz, because ultimately it's about us. It's not about them. And here's why. And we'll talk about this next week. You don't have any authority over another person. You can't make them see your way. If COVID didn't teach us anything else, it should have taught us that we cannot convince other people. Stop. You can't convince somebody by the strength or the force or the loudness of your convincing. So the pop quiz then is for us. They often involve, almost always involve another person, but it's not for them. It's for us. Why does that person provoke me? Where does this go to? And even once you've found the root of it, you still have to work through that several times, many times, over and over and over, because the wounds are very, very deep. And there are lots and lots of layers and many, 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 many years of practice in the ways that we cope with it. So it takes a long time to unearth that stuff and heal it. But yes, you can be completely healed. You can. So is it always for you to look at your stuff? Yes, it is. Reading the Bible and not looking at it as an intellectual endeavor. I'm prone to a scholar mentality and want to learn everything, but I want to grow in my relationship and not look at God as a class. All right. So that's where that daily reading comes in, because you don't go to it to learn something. You go to it to hear. L is listen. So we think of prayer as saying stuff, but we listen first. Mary shows us that we listen first. What chapters for next week? Chapter 2. Actually, no, we're still actually going to be in chapter 1, because we're going to be talking about pop quizzes quite a bit next week. I have a whole page of pop quizzes, and I think we're going to get into some of the marriage and authority and family stuff. Okay, very good. And that is all. Okay. Okay. Yes, that's all of them. All right. Phew. So an hour and a half. So I would say anticipate next week another hour and a half, although I have far more questions for next week, but a lot of them are very similar. So I think we can probably hit several birds with one stone. So okay, we lost a few due to time, I'm sure. So I just want to thank you. I want to just run through here real quick one more time and see everybody's faces. Hello. It just almost makes me cry to see you. I hope that this has been helpful. I do believe that in the coming weeks, it will be even more so. At some of your faces, as I've been talking, y'all are like, so I love the Zoom because I can see you. All right. Well, here's my big hug. Thank you for coming. Feel free to get in touch with Mary Catherine. Also, one last call. No. Okay. Very good. All right. So I will see you here then at 6:30 next Tuesday. And in the meantime, if you haven't read chapter 1, read chapter 1 and the introduction. And if you haven't gotten a book, what are you waiting for? All right. And what I'd like for you to do then, here's your homework. If you have not begun a practice, I see you, Evie Marie. If you have not begun a practice of love the word, reading the daily scriptures, do it. Begin tomorrow. Begin. Carve out some time. You can get the readings on the USCCB website, on universalist.com. They're on Laudate for free. All of those were free. I use the Magnificat magazine. I do it every morning. I've done it every morning. I don't tell you to do something that I would not do myself, first of all. And secondly, that I don't know works. I know that the word of God, and John of the Cross says this himself, he filled his teachings with scripture because he knows there is healing there. God's word accomplishes what he sends it to do. It is so important. It is the, I would say, except for the Eucharist, but notice that the Mass is broken into those two parts, the liturgy of the Eucharist and the liturgy of the word. You need both of those for the one table, the catechism says. So if you don't have that practice, please, please, please begin that now. Also, I have the new Mary journal just came out. If you want a journal that's dedicated just to love the word, you can get that. It just came out. It's on their own pre-order, and I should have them next week. So you'll be able to get them next week. But it's got the guide page in it that walks you through each of the steps, and it's in the very front of the journal so that you can flip back to it if you need help as you go. And then each page has the love acronym, but all the pages are blank. So you can write as many pages as you need. And then in the back, there are praises and intentions for you to keep track of the things that you've asked God for and the ways that he has answered you. So if you want something like that, you can get that. I think Mary Catherine put it in the very top of the chat there, but that's available too. But you don't need that. You can get a three ring or a spiral bound notebook for 95 cents at Walgreens and just begin today. All right. So that's your assignment. All right. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Lord, we are so thankful, first of all, for community. I just thank you for each of these beautiful souls and their presence and their longing and their drive to know you and live you more deeply. And so, Lord, however we can help one another to do that, show us. I pray for extra graces. I know I have seen in my one-on-ones, and I know that you are pouring out your spirit on your church right now for healing in every possible way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. And so, Lord, we say yes to that, and we throw the doors of our souls open wide, and we say, yes, come Holy Spirit, help us to set our wills and decide that we will do this no matter what. And in so doing, Lord, as you heal us little by little, the Bible says that when people see what you are doing in us, they will be so amazed. And Lord, we claim that as a promise for ourselves. I pray that for every single one of us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Mwah! I'll see you next week. Bye.